stand as you're able to do so.
The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love.
The Lord is good to all, and his compassion is over all that he has made.
All your works shall give thanks to you, and all your faithful shall bless you. To make known to all people your mighty deeds and all the glorious splendor of your kingdom.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his works and gracious in all his deeds.
The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Jam today? Yes? No? Okay. The children are at this time released for jam as we sing our gathering hymn.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth.
God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father,
and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Grant that we may believe in you, call upon you, know you, and serve you. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen.
The first reading is from Zechariah, the 9th chapter. Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he. Humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore you double. The word of the Lord. The second reading is from Romans, the 7th chapter. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with my mind, I am a slave to the law of God, but with my flesh, I am a slave to the law of sin. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. At that time, Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to Christ.
You may be seated. So
It doesn't say Rick or Sean anymore. That's pretty good. So is everyone here familiar with the folk hero William Tell? All right. So as the story goes, William Tell shot an apple off his son's head with a crossbow from 120 paces. So I'm thinking that I should be able to.
5, 6, 7, 8. We'll go with 8 paces. What do you think? Ooh, it hit the wall. Sorry, Randy. Actually, the last time it was Mike and Jeff. I don't think there's a wall. It's fine. So, given that shot, who wants to be William Tell? Oh, wait, I'm William Tell. You're William Tell's son. So if William Tell could do it from 120 paces. So my bow, he did it with a crossbow. I have this toy bow. You saw how poorly I missed there. I have a dowel rod, this toy bow, and it's not my head, so let's do it. You game, George? No. You're supposed to say no. This is not a good idea. Is it? Does anyone think it's a good idea other than you, Melanie, and Marty? All right. All right. No, I'm not. Lydia, here, let's try this one. Much better, right? Lydia, you saw where that first shot went. Put that on your head. Are you okay? So we now have a giant red ball that she's hiding behind. What's that? No, I couldn't. The risk is, see, they're covering their faces. Why? Because they're afraid that I'm going to hit their eyeballs with this fake bow and arrow. Don't go far. I'm going to need both of you later. Thank you. You can sit. But I wouldn't go far. So, probably not a good idea to shoot a fake arrow at my daughter or at George today. Since entering ordinary time a few weeks ago, has anyone noticed what we keep reading for our second readings? What's it from? The book of Romans, right. So the book of Romans is written by, of course, the Apostle Paul, and he has spent a lot of time in these past few weeks talking about sin and the sin's relationship back to the law. So as Lutherans, we recoil at this idea of law. We hate law. We're more of grace kind of people, aren't we? And a lot of times, when it comes to Romans, this is how we read Romans, as a hatred of law, a rejection of law, this most Lutheran of all epistles. And why do I call this a Lutheran epistle? Well, listen to what Martin Luther says about Romans. He says, this epistle is really the chief part of the New Testament and is truly the purest gospel. It is worthy not only that every Christian should know it word for word by heart, that's right, you should have it memorized, but that it should also occupy, you should also occupy yourselves with it every single day as the daily bread of your soul. We can never read it or ponder it too much, for the more we deal with it, the more precious it becomes and the better it tastes. It is the purest gospel. Lydia, do you have Romans memorized yet? George, anybody here have Romans memorized? Because Luther told us we should. Nobody? I'm seeing no hands. It's daily bread for our soul. So I think it's fair to say that our Lutheran theology is rooted to some degree in Romans, right? Given that Luther praises it so highly. And because of this, if we're not careful as Lutherans, we risk viewing the law very negatively because, again, we're more grace and gospel kind of people, right? So, Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Romans 4, verse 13. For the law brings wrath, and where there is no law, neither is there violation. Romans 5, verse 20. When the law came, our trespasses were multiplied. Thanks, law. And this from the 7th chapter of Romans. Our sinful passions are aroused by the law. If I would not have known what it is to covet, I would not have even known what it is to covet if the law had not said, you shall not covet. But sin, seizing an opportunity in the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. So what I think Paul seems to be saying here is if the law tells us not to do something, our human nature says, do it. And we do. And if the law tells us not to do something, our human nature says, yeah. I think I said that wrong. Anyway, you get the point. So from what I can tell, the law is kind of like me asking my kids or telling them to pick up their rooms or to do the dishes. And what is your answer? You can't make me. So according to Paul, we are all just overgrown children. So what we hear as Lutherans is that law is bad. Grace and gospel, good. But here's the thing. Paul, when we read Paul closely and we read all of Romans, we find that Paul does not hate the law. In Romans chapter 12, Paul says this. The law is holy. And the commandment is holy and just and good. To Paul, the law is holy and just and good, and our sinfulness is the problem. Our sinfulness is the problem. So here's a quick lesson in Greek and Hebrew. The word that, the Greek word used by Paul that we translate to sin is hamartia. When we look up hamartia in the Greek dictionary, we find that this word, as Paul and his original readers would have understood it, means, to miss the mark. It means to miss the mark. That is sin. And this isn't just Paul's understanding. This understanding predates Paul. It predates Paul. I'm going to try not to hit the wall this time. It predates Paul. So the Hebrews had a word called hama. So when we read sin in the Old Testament, we're likely reading the Hebrew word hama, which also means to miss the mark. You see, the law is not the problem. The law gives us a target to hit. But it's not the law's fault if we miss the mark, is it? George? Well, I was going to ask you to stand back up with an apple on your head. But you're right, it's not. And Lydia. So, yes. So, you can see how good I am. You can see how good I am at shooting this arrow, right? If I shoot this at George, and I miss that apple, shoot at the apple on his head, and I miss it, and hit him in the face, hit him in the eyeball, is it the apple's fault that I missed? It's George's fault for letting me do it, right, exactly. No, it's my fault. The archer, the well-known sinner, the one that releases the arrow, knowing there could be a good possibility that I hit him in the face. But you might be saying the law is too constrictive, right? I hear you saying that. Okay, the law is too constrictive. Okay, so instead of the apple, let's use the giant red ball. Lydia, put it up on top of your head. Again, if I miss, what could happen? It could hit her in the eyeball while she has safety goggles on over there. But it could hit her in the face. It's not the target's fault. It's not the target that's the problem. It's the person, it's the archer, it's the sinner that is the problem. Okay, unless you really want me to shoot an arrow at your face, you can sit down again. No, I'm not doing it. That's not a real... It's not a real, whatever it's called. But it's even worse than this. If you read Romans chapter verse 7 of... Romans chapter 7, verse 15. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do everything that I hate. Wow. I, for one, am guilty as charged on this one. So 3 Sundays ago, you heard a sermon from me, and it proclaimed, love one another. How could it get any easier than that? And last Sunday was similar. It was a 30-day love will heal challenge. Love, I said, not anger will change this world. Do a small act of love each day. Just a small act of love, I said. But on Wednesday of this past week, I really missed that mark. So a few weeks ago, we bought paint from an unnamed big box store. It may or may not rhyme with snows. And we gave them a color swatch called Rocky Mountain Mist. It was supposed to be a light gray-ish color. So Andrea started painting. You see, I've retired from painting because I hate it. And it looked like the color we asked for when she started. We had no reason to think otherwise. Here's the swatch. You mix it and you hand it to us. That's the color we asked for. So after it dried, the color didn't look quite right. So we checked it against the paint swatch, and it looked like a slightly darker gray with maybe a hint of blue in it. And neither of us liked it. It didn't match. So we checked the can. And it was Rocky Shelter. Ooh, not Rocky Mountain Mist. So I'm envisioning someone going to this little thing at the place that rhymes with snows and typing in something that says Rocky, and they're like, oh, that's the one, and they click on it. And before you know it, we have Rocky Shelter in our hands. So off to the big box store we went, and I explained the situation and told them, and I was immediately told what I can only assume is big box store policy. Sir, we can't return an empty can of paint. Now, generally, I would say this makes a lot of sense, right? But I stayed mostly calm, and I asked if there was someone else I could talk to, and two more people came over. One of them picks up the can and says, sir, it's empty. I can't return it. And I explained a little bit, like, paint changes colors as it dries, and when we started putting on, it looked like the right color, and we didn't realize it until we, and I mean, by we, I mean Andrea, until Andrea finished painting, and that was the point that we realized that it was the wrong color. And I was answered, sir, we can't return an empty can of paint. To which I roughly responded, getting significantly more annoyed and louder, I know it's empty. The paint is on my wall, which is really frustrating considering I wanted Rocky Mountain Mist, and now we have Rocky Shelter. It's on my wall, and we, and I really meant her, are going to have to spend another 4 hours painting, and I don't really want to spend another $70 on top of that for a mistake we didn't make. Sir, there's nothing we can do. It's empty. And then I really missed the mark. I know that it's empty, but you gave us the wrong paint! What's funny is there's something that they could do because someone else then came over and refunded the empty can of paint. But that's far from the point here, isn't it? That's far from the point. I don't understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. You see, as the situation escalated, I could feel it in my ears and in my head. When I get mad, my ears and my head start getting mad. And as I talk, when I'm mad, I can feel my voice quaking, and I could tell that that was happening. And maybe the best thing would have been for me to walk away. But I didn't, because I was right. It wasn't even about the $70 anymore. I was right, and I wanted to prove that I was right. So even though I knew where this was headed, even though I knew that it was going to end on me about me yelling about a $70 can of paint, I did it anyway. I couldn't stop myself from yelling at someone who was simply sticking to store policy. And over the next few hours, I kept playing the situation in my head over and over and over again. And I was so mad at myself. I hated my actions because I knew that I didn't bring love into the world. I brought anger. I brought, dare I say, hate into the world. I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. It isn't the law that I hate. It isn't the Target. It's not the Apple or that big red ball that I hate. It's my inability to hit the Apple, my inability to hit the big red ball. It is missing the mark that I hate. Because when I miss the mark, and that mark is on top of George's head, and that mark is on top of Lydia's head, that arrow just might go piercing through their eyeball. Right? When we miss the mark, we harm people. We hurt people. And that is something that we should hate. But it's not the law's fault. The law is good. There's beauty in the law. The law brings goodness to the world. Love one another. It sounds great, but it is law, isn't it? It's law, right? Because I brought to you this 30-day challenge, and it will bring goodness to the world if we do it. But it's law. It's something that we're being told to do. It is law that provides a target for us to hit, but the existence of the target doesn't give us the skills or the ability to hit the target, does it? This law, love one another, is good and beautiful, but it is limited. I miss the mark because I do not always do what I want, which is to love one another. But sometimes I do the very thing that I hate, which is to yell at someone over a $70 can of paint. The law is limited because we are limited. The law tells us what we are to do, but it's up to us to do it. And that's what we hear from Paul today. You see, Paul, he tells us something else today, though, too. Something that Luther calls the purest gospel. Paul tells us that we cannot fulfill the law. And I know that that kind of sounds like bad news, but it's not. The law, you see, has already been fulfilled. And Paul knows that. And as someone who just got into an argument this week over an empty can of paint of the wrong color, that is the best news I have heard all week. That is the good news, the purest gospel. I, like Paul, know that I will never be able to live up to the impossible standards of the law. And with him, I cry out, as we heard Beth say today, wretched man that I am, I cry, wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Who? Who will rescue me? Because I certainly can't save myself. The law certainly isn't going to save me either. And then we hear it. Then we hear the answer. Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Please don't mishear me. This doesn't excuse sin. This doesn't excuse me for losing it on someone who didn't deserve it. Jesus doesn't excuse sin. Much to the contrary. When we miss the mark, when we lose our tempers over that $70 can of paint, when we veer off course, if we are yoked to Jesus Christ, the yoke of Jesus Christ pulls us back with a firm corrective. And though we will most certainly stumble when this happens, this yoke will not let us fall. And he will continue on beside us, bearing us up, freeing us to love one another as best as we possibly can. Wretched people that we are, who will rescue us from our bodies of death? Who? Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is not law. This is the purest gospel. And it's for this gospel that I say, thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you. If you want the apple, you can have it. It's bruised? Well, I didn't want to risk her the apple.
professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Confident that God receives our joys and concerns, let us offer our prayers for the church, those in need, and for all of creation.
God of the covenant, you call ministers to proclaim your gospel of grace throughout the world. Inspire pastors, deacons, vicars, assisting ministers, church musicians, lectors, greeters, and all ministers of your word as they carry out your work. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. God of all creation, you reveal your goodness through all that you have made. Rivers and seas, plants and animals, and endangered species. Prosper the work of conservation organizations, botanical gardens, zoos, and wildlife sanctuaries. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. God of the nations, you desire that all the peoples of the world live in peace. Guide governments, leaders at all levels, national, state, province, and local, to work for justice, mercy, and reconciliation. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. God of compassion, you bring healing to those who are sick, consolation to those who are grieving, and well-being to those who are distraught. Send skilled and merciful caregivers to all who are in need, especially Linda, Marcella, Karen, Sandy, Jamie, Deb, Frida, Bill, Linda, Tim, Ed, Wilma, for any near death and for all who grieve, especially the family and friends of Carol Baxter, and for those we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. We thank you for medical professionals that care for those that we love, bear our burdens, and bear their burdens as we yoke ourselves to you. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. God of rejoicing, you have brought us together this day to worship around word and sacrament. We thank you for this gift of free and public worship. Watch over those who are absent today, including our homebound members and those members who are no longer find joy or meaning in communal worship. Inspire us to remember and to connect to the homebound, absent, and wayward, that they may experience the joy of being gathered as one into the body of Christ. Lead us all to places of renewal and refreshment. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray. In the name of the one who reconciled all creation to himself, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And now may the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. Gifts and our offerings.
pray. God of field and forest, sea and sky, you are the giver of all good things. Sustain us with these gifts of your creation and multiply your graciousness in us, that the world may be fed with your love. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. So with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Only Jesus can satisfy our hungry hearts. Come and eat at the table where all are welcome. Please stand as you're able to do so. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Let us pray. We thank you, generous God, for the refreshment that we have received at your banquet table. Send us now to spread your generosity into all the world through the one who is our dearest treasure, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen.
And now, if you haven't stood up and sat down enough, you may be seated. Let's see. This week's meetings. We do not have a mission and evangelism meeting on Wednesday. That meeting will be shortly after church today to talk about when the next meeting is. So that's right, we're meeting to talk about a meeting. It's all good. So council meeting Thursday, 6 p.m., First Supper Wednesday, 5 p.m. Been seeing more and more folks at the First Supper from the congregation. So please, all of you are welcome at that, and we would love to see you there. So if you've signed up for a task force meeting, please check the schedule on your way out and see if you are signed up. If you have not signed up for one, please check the schedule on the way out and sign up for one. Also, you should be getting a letter in the mail if you have not already. I'm not sure. We mailed it Thursday night, right? That should be on its way to you or already delivered. If you are not a member, you would not have had one mailed to you. So check out in the other table over there. There are folded copies of those letters if you want to grab one of those. It gives quite a bit of detail about where we are in the process right now. So please do that. And our noisy offering, which we will do here in a moment during our closing hymn, will go this month to VBS. Anything else? Any other? Yes.
VBS needs empty toilet paper rolls and paper towel rolls. So if you
Okay. All right. If you have empty toilet paper and paper towel rolls, bring them in. We want them. So with that, let us sing our closing hymn. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord is gracious.
Oh, man. See, I messed everything up today.